The chapter before us, Hebrews 11, is well known as a chapter of faith. It's often called the Hall of Faith. But it's not just a recounting or summary of the lives of some well-known men and women of faith. Also, it is worth noting, it is not a list of religious observances, church attendance, collective worship, praise, and giving of alms. But rather, it is by demonstrated examples that it shows that faith is a very practical thing, a very personal thing, and a very powerful thing in changing lives. Really, the whole is an exposition of verse 38 at the end of chapter 10. Now the just shall live by faith. That is to say that they shall have life through faith. That we receive new life, everlasting life, through faith in Jesus Christ and faith alone. But that it does not stop with our salvation, with having that new life, but with an ongoing living by faith. That the life is changed, the life is transformed. It is the equivalent of saying, ye must be born again. But it is stating the means by which we are born again. The just shall live by faith. It speaks much about the way to God. It is not by works. It is impossible by good behavior to get to heaven. It is impossible by good behavior to have peace with God. The scriptures are faithful throughout to give many of the sins and failures of people mentioned in this chapter. And you can imagine if somebody reading this chapter was like many of perhaps your friends and acquaintances or people that you know, they would point the finger and say, you call yourself a Christian? How can they be great examples of faith? They were ordinary people, ordinary men and women, as you and I. But they had great faith. They trusted God. And you and I can too. It is not by our good behavior. Faith is not somehow a sum of our works. Some seem to think of faith as a sum of religious practices, of coming to a church, singing and joining in the church, and then somehow that is our faith. It's why it's so significant that religious practices are not mentioned here. It is a resting upon Christ alone, as he is offered to us in the gospel. That is the only way of salvation. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, we have that well-known summary. For by grace are ye saved through faith. It is faith that receives that gift of grace, that salvation, through faith. And that, and this must be emphasized, that faith, that is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in. And this is what Hebrews 11 is expounding, that we are not saved by good works, we are saved unto good works. God first saves us, and then that faith is worked out in our lives and in our practice. Faith, having believed, having received, and having rested upon Christ, we are born again by his Spirit, accepted and forgiven in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are adopted in him into the family of God. We are made new creatures, given a new heart, a new mind, a new soul, a new voice, to love God and to live for him. And Hebrews 11 really, through practical examples, expounds all this to us. When I suggested to my family that I was going to go through Hebrews 11, the first question from one of my sons was, well, are you going to take both services? And I hadn't thought of that because it will take a while. But we will get as far as we get. And we will trust the Lord on that. And then at the end, we will acknowledge with the author of Hebrews 11 that time fails us to tell more. So, as we look through these lines, we see in the life of Abel the commencement of faith. And really the first three stand in a section by themselves, Abel, Enoch, and Noah. And in them we have the commencement of faith, the character of faith, and the conclusion of faith. And we may see, well, I won't go into the questions yet. Abel here is trusting in the finished work of Christ. It is God's way of salvation that he is looking to. The Lord came to them after the fall in the Garden of Eden to Adam and Eve, and their covering that they had made, the work of their hands, was not sufficient. That they were naked before God. They were guilty. It was the nakedness of their soul, not their bodies, that they were really concerned about when they covered themselves. And they knew that they had sinned against God. God provided them a covering. It is something that Hebrews has already been establishing, that without shedding of blood is no remission. The wages of sin is death. And there must be that meeting of that judgment of death. And either we must pay that debt or another. Now, the Lord gave these sacrifices and the covering to point them to the seed of the woman that was promised right from the beginning. And the seeds of the gospel were there right from the beginning. They were trusting that the Savior would come, the Savior who would stand their substitute in their place and bear away their sin. And all those that by faith, I don't mean those that just went through the motions of the sacrifices and were trusting that they were somehow doing a good work in bringing their sacrifice year on year to the temple. But those who were truly trusting God and who were saved were looking through that sacrifice to Christ. They had there that practical example before. And Abel, we are told, it was by faith, true faith, that he offered that more excellent sacrifice. That he offered the true sacrifice. It was not the works of Cain's hand that was acceptable unto God. It was the lamb, the offering that was brought. And so Cain was filled with anger. And we know the story, he slew his brother. But he, being dead, yet speaketh, and his blood testifies that there is one way to God. It is at Calvary. It is not by the works of our hand, but by the Lamb of God alone that we may be redeemed. That Jesus Christ hung upon that tree, not because he had done wrong or because of any weakness in himself, but because he took upon himself our sin, and it was laid upon him as our substitute, and he died in our place. And this is what Abel was trusting in. And so by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And then the character of faith in continuing with God, in walking with God. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. And then the reason, and this is key, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. And we read the story of Enoch, and it would be great to go through all these stories and to turn them up and read them today. But then we would be here all day. And I believe that most of you don't want to sit on these chairs all day. So we won't do that, but if you can do it in your time. And the story of Enoch is that he walked with God. And through his life he walked with God. He walked in close fellowship to God. He walked with God and was not, because God took him with him. He pleased God. And Hebrews is here opening up for us that the fact that he walked with God and pleased God, it is evident that it was through faith, because without faith it is impossible to please him. There is a sum of saving faith given in verse 6. If we are to come to God, we must believe first that he is in the person of God. That he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek. There must be faith that God is true to his word, true to his promise, that he will reward them that diligently seek him. The faith that saves is a personal faith. It's not enough to believe that God rules in heaven, that God will judge and the living and the dead, and judge the world for our sin, and that he gave a Savior, Jesus Christ. It is not enough without believing that Jesus Christ is my Savior, that he died for my sin. That you can say, dear Savior, thou art mine. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then on to Noah. By faith, Noah, this is the conclusion of faith. And we may hear a question, but we know that the ark speaks of our salvation and deliverance. But the emphasis here is the conclusion of our faith, we may say, in the great conflagration, in that great judgment that is to come. And Noah shows that as he is kept safe and secure in the ark and carried through the judgment of God. And when the judgment of God falls upon the world that came first by water and it's coming at the last by fire, and God will purge and purify the world, only those who are safe and secure in the ark, in Christ Jesus, will be saved. And it was by faith that Noah believed God. He was warned of God of things not seen as yet, and moved with fear, he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. He believed when God warned him of judgment to come. And he trusted God and was delivered safe and secure, that he may become the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. And so the emphasis here is on that deliverance, that he was brought through the judgment and became heir of righteousness. The emphasis is on that conclusion of our faith, coming to Christ, that we are saved by grace, we live with him and we walk with him through this life, and he will bring us at last safe and secure. Our sins are blotted out, we are justified. We can stand before the judgment seat of God, and our sins are blotted out. He sees only Calvary, the finished work of Christ, the shed blood of the Lamb. And we, who are guilty sinners, by nature go free. We are received into his holy presence in glory. We are justified. We are made heirs of righteousness with Christ and with none. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, the New Testament says. Heirs of righteousness. And so Noah is that example, that picture of the conclusion of faith. At the last, coming to glory. And then goes on, and there is many examples about the life of faith. And I want to look at some of them. It begins with the calling of faith. Abraham speaks of God's calling, the calling to a total commitment to Christ. He was called to separation, to leave his family, to leave his home. He was called to go out into a foreign land. He was called to be a sojourner, to sojourn in a strange land. We are called to leave the things of this world behind for Christ, to seek Christ only, to trust him, and to be like Abraham of old, counted strangers and pilgrims in the world. He was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. He didn't demand that the whole plan would be explained in every detail, that he would understand fully every detail from the beginning. He trusted God. He didn't know what would happen. He knew it was going to be tough. He knew he was leaving home, but he trusted the Lord, went out by faith, and stepping out in Christ is an act of faith. We do not know what a day may bring forth, let alone what we will face in our lives. We do not know the problems, the struggles, but we do not know the blessings either, and we need to trust the Lord. And Abraham went out by faith. He obeyed the calling of God. It was a call to trust God and to walk with God and to dwell with God. And he trusted God. Then we see in Sarah and her example the challenge of faith to conquer the impossible. Sarah was told by God that she would be delivered of a child when she was past age. And she received strength to conceive and to deliver that child safely. We read in verse 11, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She trusted God when things seemed impossible. And this is a common theme through the scriptures. Things that are impossible with man are possible with God. And though it seems impossible, we must trust God and have that faith of Sarah. Through that faith, because she trusted God, because she judged him faithful to his word, that he is a God who cannot lie, by faith she conquered the impossible. Then the confidence of faith. In verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. This is what faith is. They had confidence in a new country. They were convinced. They were persuaded of them. This is what faith is. It is to be fully persuaded. That word persuaded is to be convinced of the absolute certainty. Are you fully persuaded, convinced of the absolute certainty, trusting in God that your sins are forgiven, that you're washed in the blood? There are many in many churches that seem to me to have a kind of hopeso religion. And they would call themselves Christians, and they attend church, but they're doing so as a kind of safety net, just in case it's real. With a hope so, and I say, I put it that way because I've asked. They said, are you saved? Are you trusting the Lord? Well, I hope so. That's not enough. We need to be fully persuaded. We need to know with a certainty that what God has promised, He will do. They embraced the promises. They saw them afar off. The promises to them of a land and an inheritance. We know practically it was for this life here upon earth, but we know spiritually. It was all pointing to spiritual things. It was that Christ would come. It was that He would come of their seed, that He would be born in Bethlehem, that all the purposes of God would be fulfilled perfectly. He would come our Redeemer, that He would hang upon the cross, that they would crucify Him, and there He would bear away our sin, that we might have peace with God. And they were fully persuaded. Faith is fully persuaded. They had that confidence in a new country. They had that confession of a new citizenry. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. This is by faith. When we embrace the promises, when we are fully persuaded and we trust the Lord and take Him at His word, then we are made strangers and pilgrims in the earth. This world is not our home. We're strangers passing through. And as the old hymn writer wrote, if heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? We need our hope to be in heaven. And that is the confession of faith, that our home is in heaven. That no matter what befalls us on earth, we are but strangers in the earth. And we are not looking to the honor among men, to be praised among men, even to be liked. We are looking to glory, to our home in heaven. And then we see the conquering of faith over sin and over death and over hell. And it goes on through, and the example of Abraham offering Isaac is next. And faith is tested, and faith overcomes. And as much we could see in the lesson, if we had time, in that offering of Isaac, but it's a wonderful picture of Christ. And God will provide Himself a lamb. And as the knife is lifted, Abraham, trusting that God is able to raise him from the dead, knowing that it is in Isaac that the promise is given that the Messiah would come, but God has called him to this sacrifice, and so he will trust God. There are so many that face difficulties in the churches and reason through from man's understanding. But we are called upon to trust God when we cannot understand. And so he didn't know, what's God's purpose? in offering Isaac upon a sacrifice, but he didn't need to understand God's way and God's purpose. He needed to understand and trust that God was true to his word, and his word could not fail. And he was able even to raise Isaac from the dead. And he trusted God fully. Are we trusting God? Faith trusts God fully through life. And it overcomes death and sin and hell. The next examples given are of Isaac blessing Jacob and Esau. It was John Owen himself that said of that interaction that there was a no more complicated an interaction to a right understanding of what was really going on. Because there was sin on every part, and yet we learn it was by faith that still there was great faith. And the one example in all of Isaac's life was this: at his death, that he blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. That he was looking forward. He knew that through his son that received the blessing, that Christ would come. It was the blessing of the Savior. It was looking forward to Christ. But at death, he died well. Jacob again is pictured dying. He died well. There were many acts of faith in the life of Jacob, and yet it was his death that is mentioned. And it takes great faith to die well in the Lord. He blessed both the sons of Joseph, and he was again looking to the promise of God. And Joseph, again, his death is mentioned. And think of the life of Joseph. How many things could have been said about Joseph? But it's his death that stands out. Because he made mention concerning his bones, concerning the returning back to Israel, that the Lord's people would go back to the land that was theirs. And they must go back. But they would be in captivity for some years. They would be here. He trusted, because the Lord had already foretold. He believed God. And he gave command concerning his bones. He died well in faith, trusting God. Faith does not just live well, it dies well. When we're resting in the Lord, at peace with God, it gives us the ability to face death with confidence. I'm reminded of one who was told that he had cancer. He's passed into glory now. And when the doctor told him that he'd had cancer on and off, but this was a serious cancer that was incurable. And he sung that hymn, I quote it. This world is not my home. If heaven is not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me, he said, from heaven's open door. Have you the faith to know that in facing death the angels are beckoning? That God is waiting to receive you? Then death has lost its sting. The grave has lost its victory. The strength of death, the sting, is sin, and sin is covered, it's defeated, it is blotted out, and we have peace with God and a sure home in heaven. Faith conquers sin and death and hell, but really it's not our faith that conquers. The faith is put for the thing that the faith rests in. It is Christ that has defeated sin and death and hell. And our faith receives and rests upon Christ and his finished work. And this is the picture in all these examples. They are trusting in the perfection of the blood, the purity of the blood of the Lamb and his righteousness. They are trusting in the power of the blood to save. And they are trusting in the personal application for themselves, that through the blood of the Lamb slain, they themselves have a sure hope of heaven. Moses goes on to speak about the choices of faith. To be a child of God, choosing to suffer affliction with the people of God, to identify with the people of God, rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Choosing Christ, in verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Choosing Christ, choosing the reproach of Christ, the riches of Christ, and the reward of Christ. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Is our faith daily looking to God, choosing Christ? Then we see in Rahab, the companion of faith, his works, that they go hand in hand. Because we read in James of Rahab being a great example of faith being worked out in our works, that it will be seen in our works, demonstrated in our works. And Rahab demonstrated it not, and she stood alone. She alone in all the city. Though they had talked about it with her neighbors, they had discussed it, the word was going around, the Israelites were coming. And their God is the true God. And they had seen how their God had given them the victory again and again and again and brought them out of Egypt and brought them through the wilderness. But the rest of the people, I don't know what they were doing, burying their head in the sand. They weren't looking to trust in the true and living God. But Rahab alone. And out of them all, she hid the spies. She received them with peace. And she hid them. And she sent them away safely. And she put the cord out. She trusted the Lord. And it turns out in time, she was of the lineage of the Lord. She was used in that holy lineage through which Christ would be born. She trusted the Lord. And it was worked out in her life. And she becomes this great example that faith without works is dead. Faith is worked out in our life. Then we have this list. What shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also. Our time might well fail us to go much further, but this we could list it as putting them together. They had a commitment of faith. I would encourage you to read the stories and read it with this verse in mind. Read it with having in mind, and there's about one chapter on each of them that is really significant and really important until, I suppose, you get to David's life and you can read his whole life. And it is through faith they did these great things, and they are then listed, and we might say the commitment of faith going forward into battle. They subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, they obtained promises, they stopped the mouths of lions. They went forward into battle trusting God. They trusted God when they were cast into the lion's den, or when they stood against the lion, or against the giant, or against a vast army, and they were just a few men. In every situation going forward into battle, they trusted God, because one with the Lord is always a majority. Let us trust the Lord. We are often so weak and feeble in our faith. But if we're on the Lord's side, we're on the victory side. Let us trust the Lord fully and completely. We may say that David and the prophets are examples of the courage of faith. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment, they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. You know, there are those today, especially in Africa, that are suffering just like this. But the same is true of them today, verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. They had great courage. Faith goes forward with courage. Whatever difficulties we face, we feel our weakness. You see, verse 34 there, they quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. It is not that they were the strongest people. It is that they trusted the Almighty God. We can acknowledge our own weakness. It is out of weakness that we are made strong. When we trust the Lord, when our faith is in God. Out of weakness they were made strong and waxed valiant in fight, and turned to flight the armies of the enemies. Trusting the Lord, with great courage going forward. And then, should we say, the consummation of faith, the final one. I was going to stop soon, but I thought I could sum the end. Because when I came close to stopping, there was a look of horror on one or two faces. So I think we should bring it to an end with this, the consummation of faith. There are many victories, and these victories are brought out even at the last. Through, you may see in this list, horrific things. Being stoned and sawn asunder. We don't want to face that. But the Lord will enable, when we trust him, us to face it with peace and with joy and with great courage. You know, to suffer, if you're with the Lord and the Lord is with you and the Spirit of God is dwelling with you, and you know you go forward by faith, then to suffer with the presence of the Lord is blessed. It's a blessing beyond what the world can afford. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. The sufferings of this present time, the sufferings of the flesh, are nothing compared to that joy within of knowing the presence of God, of going forward by faith with the Lord, walking with the Lord. And it's so important, these victories, this victory at the end, it is the experience of every child of God. First of all, in obtaining that good report. That is the first victory. And these all having obtained a good report through faith. That is to say, we stand before the Lord. Will you receive that well done, thou good and faithful servant? That well done, we may doubt and fear if we're looking at our works. We have not done well enough. But that well done is in Christ. It is his well done, but we receive that well done, thou good and faithful servant. Faithful is the key word there. It is because of faith. It's the faith he has given, but by grace we receive it. We rest upon Christ. Through faith, we receive that well done, that good report. And that entrance into glory. That is a triumph. That is the end of our faith, to receive that well done of Christ. And in receiving the promise of glory, they received not the promise, and without going into all the details of the wording here, it's that they looked forward with faith, but they hadn't yet received the fulfillment of that. They were looking to Christ to come. They, without us, should not be made perfect. They, that is to say, not separate. There wasn't a different way of salvation. Some imagine that through the law they were saved. But that was never possible for any to be saved. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Or through the animal sacrifices, but the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. David acknowledged this, and it's laid out plainly throughout this book of the Hebrews. They looked forward to Christ. They, in the same manner as us, trusting the Lord, received the promise. The promise of glory in Christ. Faith obtains that promise at the last through Christ our Lord. And faith receives the perfection of glory. Don't miss that last word. They without us should not be made perfect. That is to say that they with us will be made perfect. We will be glorified, and then in glory, by grace we are saved. In Christ, this wondrous truth, we are made perfect at the last. There is no more sin, no more weakness in glory, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more frailty of the flesh. We're made perfect body, soul, and mind. But what will it be to be made perfect with the saints of old, all through faith, trusting in the Lord, finally brought, given a new body, clothed upon with the righteousness of Christ, made perfect with all the saints that have gone before us, our loved ones gone before us, they are in the perfection of. And we, that same way, by faith, we shall be made perfect. That is the consummation of faith. There's a lot there. But look upon this, read it in the future, not as just a list of lives of faith, but what those lives teach us about our faith and how to live by faith and how to go on with the Lord. And may the Lord grant to you all faith in Jesus Christ, to walk with God by faith, and at last we shall glorify God together, perfected in the heavens. Amen. Amen. Let's close with 516. Forgive me for taking a bit longer there this morning. With 516. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Saviour divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away, or let me from this day be holy thine. So Father, grant that we may know that faith to carry us through life, to rest in thee. Lord, we thank thee for faith to rest in Christ, for that finished work that thou dost promise to bring, that work that thou hast once begun, to completion, to bring us safe home at last to glory. Lord, we thank thee for thy word and for thy mercy. Write thy word upon our hearts. Bless us this afternoon in this day of rest. Bless our fellowship and bring us back in thy will to worship this evening. May thy grace and mercy and peace be the strength and comfort of each one. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.